back. FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. This part of the show, live from the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington, D.C. for the Federation for American Immigration Reform Fair Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. We are live in Washington with half the show. Dalton holding things down back at the studio, and love to hear from you today. And get this, so Jeff Poore joins us on Wednesdays. And so even with us being in Washington, right across the table from me, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Poore from Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and of course, read his work in Lanyap locally, and check him out afternoons on WVNN in Huntsville. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
We're going to hang out together this whole time. This is really cool. So I was trying to explain some before I came up here to folks what this event was, and not having done it before, I was kind of doing it through your eyes, so maybe you're the better explainer on what brings all these radio people. I mean, this is the highest density of talk radio people I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if it's even allowed to have this many talk radio show hosts in one place.
You see a lot of this in Washington, D.C. events. You see it at the political convention. Well, more so the RNC, they'll do this. But this one is an annual event. CPAC, they do it a little bit. They have a pretty decent radio row. But this is a bread butter right wing talk radio. Well, local hosts around the country, and they pay their freight to come up here to talk about immigration.
I'm gonna take some pictures and put it up on the Twitter feed, y'all. It's like it's like booths at an event or a flea market or something like that. You walk down, you're going down the rows here, and it's a show, and they're doing just like we are. And then next door, there's another station doing another show and another.
It's like speed dating, though. Because you get these guests, and they come, and they sit, and then they go to the next one, and then they go to the next one. It really is like that. So, yeah, it's like bang, 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 bang.
And so one of the things, obviously, we're talking about immigration here and immigration reform and what's happening on the Hill. But I got to say that, and I'm going to ask this of guests that come in, the congressmen that will be on with us today and tomorrow, how much attention are they going to be able to put on this right now? Because, I mean, it's finally happened. What they've threatened for all this time, Democrats moving forward with this impeachment or whatever the impeachment investigation, impeachment light, whatever it's going to be. I think it's going to be tough to move any other discussion in Congress right now.
No, this town will be impeachment mania for the foreseeable future. Now, everything's kind of accelerated right now because Donald Trump's going to release the transcripts from this call that is the basis for the impeachment process. And
with some level of redaction. We would expect.
Well, he says unredacted.
Yeah, I just... okay. And I saw that this morning, too.
I will take him at his word until otherwise. I see otherwise, right?
When I saw that this morning, too, I said, there's got to be some things in there you can't, like, release to Jeff and Sean. I mean, there's got to be some level of...
Let me tell you something. What I think the way this works is all the top secret stuff is done at a different level. It's not the world leaders having this discussion. It's done. It's diplomat, spy versus spy kind of stuff. This is all done behind the scenes. It would never make it onto a call between two world leaders.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So this
stuff
is
suspicion.
Okay. That's why I could. So it comes out. So let's go. So the White House president says they're going to release his transcript. Now at that point, it seems to me, and then the whistleblower is going to come and speak, and the whistleblower, which is hearsay. Right?
Secondhand
knowledge. That's going to come out. It must be that I don't understand why the ordering went the way it did. With Speaker Pelosi moving forward with the impeachment yesterday and this happening today, I would have thought it would have been flipped around.
Pelosi's just a victim of her caucus.
Yeah, she can't. She's finally lost.
She's lost control, and they told her, look, you know, because there's more than half the caucus is like, we want impeachment. And if you can't, let's say that she just still stonewalls and says no. Could they move to remove her as speaker? And I think that's certainly a possibility. There doesn't seem to be an heir apparent, but she was forced to do this, right? And
well, this she's dealt with this for quite a while.
This is a product of her own doing. This is a product of the Democratic Party's own doing. For years, they have dined off of ginning up a rabid base voter. And we'll start with the Bush years.
Mm-hmm.
They dined off of anti-war fervor, but they really created, they farmed, and then they realized the monster they created. But they really created this sort of grassroots protest movement that's really revved up and very, very far left. And here's what happens when you do that. You get an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, mm-hmm. defeating a Joe Crowley. You get Jerry Nadler, who's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, kind of spearheading a lot of this impeachment stuff.
Right.
But you get him focused on impeachment to the extent because he's afraid he doesn't want to wind up like his old colleague Joe Crowley did in another part of New York City.
Right.
He's
losing
got,
to
he,
AOC.
Maybe they're not quite as like third world socialist in his district, but they are very left leaning and they would look at an alternative to him in a Democratic primary. He's terrified of that. So he is just playing the sheet of music he's been handed. And this is the monster they created, and by creating this monster now it's coming to fruition. They're getting what they want out of it, or what is what you would expect to come out of it.
Right.
But I don't think they expected it to be taken as seriously as is being taken right now, to the extent that now we're having to pursue impeachment.
Right,
there's no prayer in the Senate.
There's new Democrats that didn't realize this is just rhetoric, right? They said, oh, y'all really believed we were going to do this.
Yeah, you believed the professional wrestling. You thought the professional wrestling was real, but here's the problem. At some point, the professional wrestling became real because you play up that aspect of it so much. Then you start electing people that believe it, and now you've got professional wrestlers in the United States House of Representatives that are trying to do that same shtick.
Well, okay, so for the fourth time in American history, we're looking at impeachment, right? This would be the fourth, right?
Because Nixon didn't get well.
Okay, but looking at it, the discussion of it, four times we've...
I make a prediction. I made this prediction on my show yesterday.
Okay.
Donald Trump will be the first president of the United States to get impeached twice.
Twice,
because he'll win re-election. It'll get him again in 2023 for something.
Okay, wait a second. Let's mark this down. So twice. So hat trick here. We're two times.
Once, two impeachments, because he's going to get impeached this time.
Right. Which is to me, that's the four. Right. We got. That's been four times.
There's only been voted on Andrew Johnson, Bill Clinton, only two times articles of impeachment have actually passed the House.
Gotcha. Because I see what you're saying. Okay. So three times with articles of impeachment voted, but fourth journey into impeachment.
Yeah, Nixon resigned before they got the ball rolling on it. But Donald Trump will actually get impeached. Mitch McConnell will move to dismiss him.
Right, sure.
He'll get reelected. They'll find something else to get.
And we'll go through this again.
Yes. He's going to be impeached twice.
You know, I know not to doubt you on things because you're probably right on this.
Oh, this is just my like.
it's interesting. I haven't even thought it beyond for the second impeachment. But yeah, for folks that are following this and hearing the news cycle, they got to understand that this right now is for effect because it's going to go. Obviously, the House, there's no issue here. Democrats got that. The impeachment goes to the Senate, and it's not going to go anywhere.
So they're going nowhere.
You're telling me right now.
Still on arrival.
Yeah, you're telling me right now that the Republicans in the Senate, I don't care if they're wishy-washy on certain things out there, by and large, are Republicans in the Senate going to vote to impeach? Are they going to? No.
They will get primaried, and they will lose the Republican primary.
Right. Even if they wanted,
Romney, the biggest never-Trumper in the U.S. Senate right now. Even if Mitt Romney, he would face some kind of challenge. Now, he's not up again for 4 or 5 years, but he's not going to go along with this.
Something, and we'll see when the transcript comes out, you know, once out there. I just don't know that there's anything at this point, wait to see, that would be so damning in there that the constituency of these Republican senators are going to be on the phone going, yeah, vote to impeach. Right or wrong, just the way the game is played, I don't think they're going to vote to impeach.
The only one Republican in the House, Justin Amash, I mean, he's got like three primary challengers already.
Right.
They're going to raise money and run on being, hey, this is the guy that voted for impeachment.
Right.
I mean, he's vulnerable. You can't. It's Trump's party now. I don't care how much noise the Bill Kristols and the, the Charlie Sykes and these never Trump crowds, like our friend Quinn Hillier make. It's Donald Trump's party. And it's never going to change until he's out of office.
And we're coming back, and we'll talk more about this live from the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington, D.C. for the Federation for American Immigration Reform event. It's Jeff Poore and Sean Sullivan and a whole bunch of other talk radio show hosts. I wish they'd be quiet. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along this morning. And part of the show, live from the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington, D.C. We're here for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIR. Hold their feet to the fire event. And we'll talk more about that coming up. Also, our normal guest on Wednesdays is Jeff Poore, and he's also here in Washington, so he's joined me here at the, I'd say, studio or the booth where we're set up. I'll explain more about that in just a second. Segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. It's a fact. Refinancing your credit card balances can lower your interest rate and save you money. And you don't have to be a financial expert to do it. Right now, you can get a credit card consolidation loan from the folks at Lightstream with a rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. That's lower than the average credit card interest rate, which is 19% APR nationally. So I can even do that math. You're going to save big. It means you can save thousands of dollars in interest, get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees, no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, no prepayment penalties. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply, and the online application is so easy, you can apply right from your phone. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And y'all can get a special interest rate discount now on top of the already great rate. The only way to get the discount, though, is to go to the website lightstream.com/Sullivan. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Sullivan. SULLIV as in Victor, AN. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, and Dalton, you said, too, that that we're getting some text in here. I'd like to hear what folks are thinking here and about the impeachment discussion coming out of this city where we're sitting, right here in Washington.
Yeah, so we've been getting a few texts in on this morning. If you want to jump in, 343-0106. Mark from West Mobile says, the Democrats are using this impeachment proceeding hype to draw attention away from the real issue. The House is voting on assault weapons ban today that includes verbiage banning not only all AR and AK variants, but also certain pistols and shotguns as well. Mark says it's smoke and mirrors to keep your focus off of the liberties they're trying to strip from citizens.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that text. I talked about this move and how wrong-minded it is. What they're trying to do in this, you have two things. You have the Democrat bill, and then you have the opinion that came out from Attorney General Barr on this. They're asking what the Democrats here are doing, or what the president does, or anybody in negotiation, they're going to ask for way more than they think they can get to try to narrow it back to what they think they can get. And that is what I think are these enhanced background checks. Jeff?
Yeah, well, I think they're trying to check a box here to say they got an assault weapons ban on the table.
Yeah.
And just want to go die in the Senate. But they don't want the press out of it because they know it is they want to have their cake and eat it, too. They don't want all the press that would come with it because then that gives Republicans something to feed off.
Right.
So it's smart in a way because, yeah, they're going to appease their base by showing that they went for the assault weapons ban. And they know it's not going anywhere in the Senate, but they don't want all that. They don't want the Matt Owls and the Chris Hayes's and, you know, CNN and that crowd fawning over it and then having the right-wingers say, hey, look what they're doing over here, and they want to take your guns and they'll Beto O'Rourke on you.
Right.
They want to have it both ways, so later when they are in a primary or they are in a situation where that you need to show that you accomplished something, This is on the list. They checked this box. It's just they didn't have to suffer the fallout from it.
All right. So the idea of this impeachment, I said, and I kind of agree and disagree because I think this impeachment would have happened even if there wouldn't be a vote on this.
The timing is really, really peculiar to me because
they've been asking for it for a long time. Did they finally figure out? Okay, I'm going to use some regular people stuff. When they moved with this yesterday, did the pressure get so much that Speaker Pelosi had to move forward with this because it was overwhelming pressure, or they were just looking for the reason? Like, y'all think back when you dated people, when you're dating people, and you thought for a couple months, this is not working out, I really don't like her that much, but you just kept going on, and you found something small, or she found something small to say, that's it, we can't be together anymore.
Right.
When the decision had been made for months, you were just looking for an easy out. I wonder if this, the Ukrainian question is what they finally said, okay, that's it, that'll be the easy way to say, now we're impeaching for this.
I think this maybe not wasn't their best option, but it was the best timing given the Iowa caucuses coming up and the New Hampshire primary. They want to get it wrapped up before that, I would think. Ideally, you don't really want to be dealing with this in the middle of all of that because it takes away from your candidates and your the really big time when you get the most bang for your buck, when you really get to showcase your presidential candidates there in that early stages. But I think this was just a convenient excuse. I think it's going to backfire. I just don't think this was the they had a better They had a better shot at it with Mueller. They had a better shot at it with obstruction of justice. I don't know. Like, what is the law that was broken here?
Well, that's, and I don't, there's so many things that are
unknown. Tell me, I mean, I've asked this question.
Now, that is a question.
Quinn has the best explanation. He says, well, Congress put money for this, and you have a president that was you know.
What's going to change, yeah.
The what's going to change the trajectory, but the president's, I mean, presidents do this all the time. Like, that's why we don't have a border wall, right? Congress designated money for, or they maybe designated fund the border wall, but they passed it into law when Bush was president.
That's right.
And it was never the will to build it. But the presidents make policy decisions all the time, you know, based on, I mean, what is the section of code precisely that Donald Trump is in violation of? And I don't think you can tell me that. I think you can't tell me that, because you can't tell me what's even going on here with this whistleblower. We don't know enough going on here. If you could tell me what the crime is, if you could tell me what he done wrong, if you could cite the U.S. code, if you could cite the high crime or misdemeanor
right.
that meets the threshold for impeachment, I'm all ears. But no one has done that. They just say, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad.
Well, impeachment is not there for the conduct unbecoming.
Right.
It's there for high crimes, right? It's there for, it's the last measure for something that has violated somebody's oath to uphold the Constitution, right? That's the job.
And
I don't know what's in this thing yet, so I hate to even speculate, but if it seems something that you go, man, because sometimes I see stuff like this, I go, yeah, that's not really
the best way
to do that, but that doesn't
reality,
mean it's impeachable.
Though, the reality is that the Democrats get to write the rules. I mean, they run the media. They don't. Fox News is and talk radio voices out there, but they're just considered marginal actors in all of this. The Democrats can lean on the media, and the media are going to be asking what is exactly this is. They could run propaganda and say this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. That's the reality. That's kind of where people, you know, accept what the New York Times, the Washington Post, and NBC News and these other outlets say is kind of a good. Maybe they don't believe it whole hog, but it is a good barometer of kind of what's right, what's wrong for a lot of people. And it's certainly not good, but they've been working against this president since he's been in, came down the escalator. And I think that's just a reality, whether we like it or not. They get the Democrats have the advantage of kind of getting to set the rules for all of this.
All right, Dalton, let's go to ask another text here, and people can text in 343-0106.
Yeah, one more to read here from an unnamed texter. And if you do text, go ahead and leave your name so we'll know what
to call
you.
Give yourself a nickname.
Or a
Come
nickname.
On.
That's
something,
right.
Something cool.
A handle. Who cares if they bring it to a vote or not, as long as we get to expose all of Trump's malfeasance and criminal activity for the next 18 months. That's all that matters.
Do the okay, and then we'll hear Jeff's response to this. But does the texter think this 18-month to go through the election cycle? Do you think it's enough that it's going to change votes out there?
No, it's all baked in.
Yeah.
Here's the problem: it was Donald Trump said he could go and shoot up Park Avenue or something.
Like shoot somebody on Park. Yeah,
I mean, like, yeah, it's not.
It's been proven to me, because what's happened to me is over time I thought these things. I was like, oh. Politically, somebody can't survive that. I've learned the difference between me and some of the people on the left is I finally learned that goes, that's not going to bring him down. That thing there was not going to bring him down. It might bring down others, but not President Trump.
I mean, it would take something. The way they did Roy Moore is probably the only way that you could stop somebody is you could start screaming pedophile.
That's about it.
Yeah.
So short of that.
Because I don't.
Short of that.
I don't know what else you could throw at. They threw their best shot. They threw at it with the Billy Bush Access Hollywood thing, and
I thought for anybody else, any other politician, I've said, well, they're done.
But it's not. That's the thing. It's Donald Trump. He's been through these scandals. I remember the 80s and 90s,
yeah,
and the tabloids
before, yes.
And Marl Maples and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he weathered the storm in all those situations. Well, I said, well, this is a little different. This is presidential politics. But that's the best they had. He survived. He still beat Hillary Clinton, despite what we were being told. So they go through this Russia ordeal, this saga, and beat the American people's, you know, head over it for 3 years. At some point, people are like tuning this stuff out now.
All right. Well, we'll talk with you about it when we come back live from the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington, D.C. for the Federation for American Immigration Reforms event. We'll be right back.
1037 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. This segment of the show brought to you by McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street. Check out the website, McConnellAutomotive.com. You can see pictures, 360-degree pictures of their entire inventory inside and outside of whatever vehicle you might be looking at buying. They've got all their great deals listed there on the website. You can also apply for financing and set up your next service appointment with McConnell Buick GMC. We talk about it often, but the McConnell experience is unlike an experience you'll have at any other automotive dealership. If you're tired of haggling for whatever vehicle you've got on your mind, don't worry about that at McConnell Automotive. You can find the price online and go visit their friendly sales staff today. Once again, that's McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see them in person on Dolphin Street just east of I-65. Now, taking you back out to Washington, D.C., where Sean Sullivan is live from the Fair Hold Their Feet to the Fire 13th annual event they have. And Sean, live from the Phoenix Hotel.
I tell you what, and hanging out with our buddy Jeff Poor as well. And before we go any further, Keith, I like it. Keith says, texters, unnamed texters, because I've never known what to do. We have over, you know, thousands. I mean, we're in the thousands of different texters. But most people have given themselves either their own name or nickname. But there's these people that refuse to have a nickname or handle on the text line. Keith said, I vote for all unknown texters to be referred to as Secret Squirrel going forward. So now, from now on, if you don't give yourself a name, you're now Secret Squirrel. Okay, so this Secret Squirrel just texted in, doesn't impeachment require a super majority?
In the Senate, yes, but a simple majority in the House gets the ball rolling, sends it to the Senate.
Right, so this is what we, if you've been hearing this, and we might need to circle back around on this. So this process is for show. We've talked about this because it is going to, the House, with Democrat control of the House, it's coming out of the House like a supernova, but it's going to go into black hole mode when it hits the Senate. I mean, it's unless something, and I want to stop myself for a second, unless there's something that comes out in this document that I can't think of yet, you're not going to get Republicans. And Jeff, let's start. The Republicans, there's Republicans out there that want the president gone. A lot of them.
Yes.
Okay, there's a lot of them. They want the Republicans want the president gone, but they know better.
They're not stupid.
They've seen what happened to the defectors, right? They've seen those people that went against the president, Republican Party, how quickly the president has turned on. So they're not going to do it because their constituents aren't going to have it. And then you have those people that are supportive of the president through and through. So you put those two groups together in the Senate, y'all, they're, like you said earlier, if Mitt Romney is not going to vote for impeachment, that I tell you right now, it's not happening in the Senate.
Yeah, and look at that state. That's how Mike Lee got elected to the Senate, because his predecessor's name escapes me, but it was just too squishy on immigration,
right,
of all subjects.
Yes.
So I think being squishy on impeachment, he may be the weakest link, but he's not stupid. He knows that he's giving any potential opponent, even if it is 4 years out, a campaign ad, a fundraising email. Don't let Mitt Romney impeach Republican presidents or whatever. And people, believe it or not, they respond to that. That is that he'd have to deal with in the future. Why would you put yourself through that? Even if you believed you don't like Trump, you don't want him in office, well, why would you put yourself through that? It seems silly to do that. So I just think it goes to die in the Senate. The Democrats get what they wanted out of it. They get an asterisk by Trump with the impeachment, and they get to make their base happy, mostly.
All right, well, so let's do this. So texting, Ben says, does this Biden story filter back to Obama? And I want to talk about the Biden portion of it, too. Is this for certain Democrats that are running for office, is this the greatest day ever? Because if this comes out, they can get that mark against President Trump. At the same time, does this negatively impact Biden's chances?
Yeah, I thought this was always a twofer. I thought you get to dirty up Trump, and you get Biden. You get to take a shot at Biden, and I don't think the grassroots of the Democratic Party want Joe Biden as their nominee.
So
I think because what do we know about? It's my turn to be the nominee. What do we know? You know, this was like the John Kerry, Dukakis, these names that run, Mondale, every time, and then it's their turn. And you can, same thing with Republicans, Romney, McCain, you know, and they don't do that well in a presidential election. Bob Dole is another name.
Yeah.
So it's Biden's turn. This is his third go around doing this. And then the guy who is just going to win the nomination because it's his turn loses in the general election. Well, what if you nominate the young faced, or Hillary Clinton, even an example, but what do you want to nominate somebody? I mean, Obama first time running, Trump first time running, George W. Bush first time running. You could go back, you get to go back away. Bill Clinton, we get to go all the way back to what, Reagan, I guess? George H.W. Bush for a successful president that was elected that ran once before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have get acquainted races in presidential politics that are successful.
It's not like an Alabama gubernatorial race or something like that.
Right. Therefore, we have that dynamic. I guess it's Joe Biden's turn. He goes on to lose the presidential election. There are a lot of Democrats that would like to see him out of the way. They don't like the way this seniority system, or whatever you want to call it, for lack of a better term, works. They want somebody different being a Democratic nominee, and they see this as a twofer. They see this as a way to get at Trump and a way to get at Joe Biden.
Hey, coming up on the Midday Show today, of course, we're going to talk more about this, but we will be talking about why we're here in Washington, how Congress can fix the immigration system. But from the 30,000-foot view, it's just like, the idea that it's impeachment fever here. I don't know if you're right now a member of Congress and you're going to, you get all these sheriffs here, you got people from all over the country coming to speak to the members of Congress. You may still have the meeting, but are you going to move anything right now? You're not going to move anything. I mean, they got to do their thing and be pushing for this, but I don't think just strategically, this is, you're going to move anything but defending the president.
No, and I don't see. This is just suck all the oxygen out of the room, as they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to be talking about this, but you can't plan these things.
No, you can't. But now, the same way I've talked about the benefit, I think, in the localized, if President Trump wins re-election, what it means for, like, infrastructure projects, like there's a bridge thing down back home, something in tolling that was discussed. The same time, I think that would be the impetus for, because we're talking about the wall and building the border wall. I think if President Trump wins re-election, all the Democrats right now that are fighting, not saying that they're going to come to his side, but they're going to realize they got 4 more years. And this is going to settle down. There's rhetoric we're hearing now that we're hearing right now because it's 2019 and it's about to be election year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a second term, usually, you've got the hard work gets done in the first term, and then the second term, you're doing whatever because you don't care. You're not running for re-election. That may be flipped around with President Trump if he's re-elected.
Yeah. Well, he's the second term of Donald Trump, if he's re-elected, will be interesting. He'll have all this out of the way, you think? I still think they'll make another run. The problem is, I think 2022 will be a bloodbath for Republicans if he wins again. 7-year itch.
Yeah.
Always happens.
Well, and the midterm, the party that's been in power loses.
2006, all over again.
There was one exception. We had an exception.
We had the 9/11, post 9/11 midterms. It was an exception. But I mean, after the midterm of a second term is usually done. No, not so much for Obama. Obama only lost the Senate. He lost the House.
It was narrow.
Yeah, it really, because all the damage had been done in that first midterm. The majority of it. So the 2014 midterms really weren't as bad for Obama as a second termer as a historically have been. I mean, you go back, Reagan even, what was it, Iran-Contra, remember that?
Right.
That all happened in his second term. Bill Clinton, the 98 midterms, like all the damage had been done in 94, so the Republicans just kind of build on their majority, but you don't have these wave elections. I think 2022 will be a wave election if Donald Trump's reelected. It probably will be a wave election either way. If he is defeated, I think that the Republicans will stage a pretty solid comeback, because there's no telling. I mean, if it's not Joe Biden, let's say it's Elizabeth Warren in the White House. Are you not telling me 2022 is not going to be ugly for Democrats?
Absolutely. Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. We're live from the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington, D.C. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Dalton, Dr. Bill Kane with traffic, our buddy Jeff Poor, and Jeff and I are hanging out here in Washington. We're at the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington, D.C. for the Federation for American Immigration Reform event. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Dalton, you said some breaking news in Mobile. What's going on? What's the news?
Yeah, we've got a few texts here over the last couple minutes. Jeremy said a big boom was heard downtown, the building to the left of the courthouse. He said, unsure what it was, it shook the Riverview. He saw flames and smoke and then nothing. It was outside the building. And then Kane following up on Twitter, he said, downtown Mobile, people evacuating buildings after a loud boom has shaken those buildings. First report is a manhole cover blown off the street, but he has also gotten many reports of buildings that shook near Riverview Plaza. That's all we've got right now, but going to keep you updated. Information we get.
Yeah, I'm interested here. So we have a story that there were flames, and
that's what
one report said, flames, and then the other they're saying a manhole cover.
Yeah, Jeremy said he saw flame and smoke, and then nothing after that, and that's when the boom and buildings shook there. But Kane said the report that he is getting is that a manhole cover was blown off the street. So that's literally all the information we're working off of right now.
Okay. This is just coming in. Obviously, we're going to wait for news updates on this. If somebody is down in the area, can help us with this, you can always hit us up on the text line or the phone line at 343-0106. So obviously, it's something that is, and I'm just seeing what I'm not. Yeah, Dalton, I'm with you. I'm not getting anything from the news folks, and our news partners hadn't put anything up that I've seen yet. I'm going to be watching this.
Yeah, and we actually, Darwin Singleton from WPMI, MyNBC 15, he's got an update. Says they're getting reports that power out now downtown due to some sort of underground explosion. No reports of anyone hurt at this point, but Darwin said they're working to confirm that at WPMI.
Underground explosion.
What does
that be? And then blowing a manhole cover off. Now there are some things underground in downtown Mobile. I mean, you can go in the bottom of some of the big buildings there, and there's access to, you know, you wouldn't think there'd be any basement in Mobile because those things flood, but they have like a half level underneath some of those buildings. I don't know that is connected with it, but if there's an explosion,
you would think
about some sort of. There has to be some sort of propellant to explode,
and I don't. Gas leak.
We have a,
but I don't know that that's.
We have a caller on the line here. He might have some more information.
Okay,
Jonathan, Mobile, you're up.
Hey, Sean. I was driving by the old tunnel heading west, and I was right next to it when I went off and shook my car and everything. It was in front of. I want to call it the probate building. It was in front of the courthouse. It was up in the lawn area, right between. It was close to the building, right between the street and the probate. It blew open. There was fire. To me, I thought it was a gas attack, but I think, you know, it looked to me like maybe a gas explosion or something. It was not in the street. It could have been a manhole cover, but it would have been up in the lawn area. It's fairly close to the building, but it seemed it blew out. It looked like it came from underground. So I just wanted to pass that on. You know, but it definitely shook, and there are no lights on downtown anywhere right now. People are coming. We're coming from everywhere to see what the big explosion was. But I kind of got out of the area. There was no. But just wanted to pass that on.
All right, thank you,
appreciate
Jonathan.
The call. Yeah, thanks. And I'm hearing a little bit what he had to say. Have the phone line. I'm getting it, but it's pretty low, that level coming back to me up here. So I mean, can you kind of run through what he said again here?
Yeah, he said it kind of happened up on the lawn, and he was talking about which building there. I kind of got confused there for a second, but he said if it was a manhole cover, it wasn't on the street, and all the lights are out down there. In Mobile, and looks like people are evacuating the buildings and kind of coming around to see what exactly happened.
Lights are out. Power's out downtown, or
yeah.
Traffic lights are.
Yeah, power is out in downtown Mobile right after that explosion. And he said that he initially thought there was some kind of, you know, terrorist attack. I don't think that's what happened here. It looks like some sort of underground explosion that was able to knock out power downtown.
Wow, and just at this point, just speculating, don't know. I mean, what kind of propellant could it be that made that kind of explosion?
I got somebody texted me, so something went boom from downtown.
So something did go boom.
Something went boom.
But we also had a report, flames, right, that there were flames seen.
Yeah, Jeremy saw it happen. He said he saw flames and smoke and then nothing.
Wow, okay. So waiting for more information on this, and you can pass along as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. Hopefully everybody, first of all, do what you're supposed to do and be safe. Are the people are evacuating themselves, or is there anything coming from the city saying that...
Yeah, Michelle is downtown. She said she's on the third floor of Government Plaza, and the lights there flickered before the explosion. Traffic lights out on Government. Government Plaza shook when this occurred. She said probate court is evacuating, and Jonathan there on the call, and also Kane on Twitter said that other buildings around the area are evacuating right now.
All right, so that's so they're evacuating. Yeah, seeing some people saying possible gas leak. All right. This is all new information coming in here, and we will. Somebody said power's not out at the SSA, so it's going to be maybe you have certain part of the grid that could have been affected underneath. I don't know. I mean, this is brand new. We're going to have to get this information.
This is from WPMI here. Workers in Government Plaza Annex, which houses the probate court, are being evacuated after explosion shook the building. Mobile Fire and Rescue, Mobile Police, Alabama Power are all on the scene. Witnesses reported seeing a manhole cover blown off.
Yeah, I'm getting pictures now coming in from downtown, and there's fire rescue on scene, and I see, well, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out what building that is right there that has, tell you what, we're going to be getting more on this, and of course we'll pass along to you today, and the latest, of course, will come up on Midday Mobile today, starting at noon. All right, Dalton. Well, this event, we are going to talk some immigration. That's what we're here for. We'll do that on the Midday Show. But yeah, between explosions in Mobile and impeachment explosion talk up here in Washington, it will be part of a bigger conversation. But I am here to help get you the message from the folks at FAIR. They've been doing this for over a decade here, this radio event. Been doing it since '79 as a group. And you know, when are we going to build the wall? Well, they want to talk about that. What about E-Verify? They want to talk about that. Closing loopholes in current law that sustain illegal border surges. They want to talk about that as well. And we'll do that coming up later on today. Jeff, as always, man, thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, a pleasure. And I'll be back in 3. Mike Gallagher on the way next.